Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Everybody say, welcome, Pastor Ray.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here because, like a lot of sinners, I've missed a couple Sundays. So cool. Real excited. This message has 3 points, and you've already got them. It's walk, live in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, and grow in the Spirit. And so we're going to jump into that. The first scripture, hallelujah. It's funny because the first one I wanted to go to is Acts 9. The interesting thing to me was when we're talking about living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit is how it's a training ground, that our lives are a partnership with the Holy Spirit, causing us to grow into an understanding of how to partner with the Holy Spirit. And so people think, you know, well, how do I partner with the Holy Spirit? It's for me, it's been a kind of a bumpy type of road from my perspective. So we're on this road and there's bumps and I'm running into some revelation. So I wanted to look at Paul's salvation experience because I love the Apostle Paul. We're going to be, you know, most of the message, most of the Bible, it's about Paul and his message to us about his experience. And so let's turn to Acts 9, 3 through 9. And we see here, as he journeyed, we're talking about Paul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. You know, how many people are you persecuting, Paul? Come on, I'm the one. It's hard for you to kick against the goats. So he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then he said to him, arise, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. What? What a salvation experience. So everyone around him hears this voice, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He's like, who are you? So the reason I wanted to talk about this is because my salvation experience is so different than Paul's. Okay, I mean, come on, he knew like, okay, it's time to rein it in. And I grew up in church, so I grew up with this kind of hint about what it was about, but I missed the point. I missed the point, so all I had was religion. Because if you miss the point, people, you don't get much. There's not much left but heartache. And so it's really important that we have this partnership with the Holy Spirit, that we have this salvation experience where we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then this gift He gives us of the Holy Spirit. And so we have this gift now, we have the Holy Spirit that helps us grow. And so my salvation experience was not nearly as dramatic as Paul's. My salvation experience was a little more religious. I'm just, you know, navigating life and find out that my theology, my understanding of the gospel, theology is a big word to say, you know, what do you believe about Christianity? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? What is your thinking on it? That's theology. So I got this adjustment in my theology. I got saved. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I was so excited. All my sins forgiven, even the ones from yesterday. And even this morning, I got in trouble this morning. It happens. I distracted an usher. We got into a great conversation. We love each other. We love the same things. But, you know, people got in without being ushered. If that was you, I'm sorry, okay? I repent, and I know I'm forgiven, but I want to get better. And that's how we are. So I'm on this path now. I want to get better. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to grow in the Spirit, and I want to be better. And so let's turn to Galatians. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Aha! So apparently I'm not the only one in this struggle. I'm not the only one trying to figure out how to get the Spirit and the, my spirit partnering with the Holy Spirit in a way that we walk all the time in the Spirit. So it's this learning curve, and I love, I've got this great story of this huge failure. I don't know, we're going to talk later in the next point, I think, about praying and growing. So, you know, the next point, there's going to be a lot of application for this sad story. I'm driving along, and I'm realizing, and we were young. I'm not sure if we had both children yet. We were just wee ones. And I'm driving along, and every day I drive past this used car lot, and it was a beautiful car. Oh my gosh, it was long and it was sleek, it was silver. This car was gorgeous. And I wasn't really in the market for a car, but oh, this car, if I were ever in the market, oh, this car, whoa, this car is so awesome. And then suddenly something happened to my car, it broke down and I needed a car. I should pray about it, but I should pray first. Let's pray. Honey, we need to pray about this. Let's pray. Let's pray. Oh God. You know I love that car. Oh, God, I want your best, but I want your best. Lord, I want your best. Oh, my gosh, I love that car. But I want your best. I don't want to do this in the flesh. But oh, my gosh, I love this car. So I'm praying, and the Lord says, okay, it's the other one. Oh, no, they've got two cars on this lot? Shoot. And this other one was economical. You know what that means? Economical? Yeah, this car was butt ugly. There's no way to be cool driving this car, okay? There was no way. Cool was out of the question. Cool was not going to happen in this car. God. I bought my car, okay? I bought the car I was in love with. The Lord said, it's this one. And I said, I'm in love. So, thank goodness, the Lord didn't hate me about it, all right? I mean, I chose my way. He was like, oh, okay. Because, you know, it's not that he doesn't want me to look cool in a car. It's not that he doesn't want me to have nice things. He just wants the best for me. He wants the absolute best. And this car was definitely not it. You know, there's some cars just look good, and that's as far as it goes. This car broke down all the time, and it threatened even more, okay? It would threaten all the time, like, there's another noise. My wife would come home, honey, the car's making a noise. Of course the car's making a noise. That's a junk. This car stole my heart, and it was junk. So I open the door, and I walk out, and there it is, this monument to my failure. I knew the Holy Spirit said it's the other one, and I bought this one. I was upside down. That means I owed more than the value of the car. And then I gave more money for fun. I went to the bank and got everything they had. I said, guys, give me all you got. I want this car. So I'm every month I'm shelling out money, and then I walk out and look at it. Oh, no, it's still here. This is my failure. Hey, honey, look. I ruined our finances. Isn't this great? This car I love. So it's a learning experience. You know, during the struggle, I thought, oh, I gotta have this car. But after the struggle was over, isn't that always the way? After the decisions made, all the lights came on, everything was clear. Oh my goodness, I disobeyed God. I bought this car, and it's junk. Owe money on it, and it keeps breaking down. I got to spend more money. After I pay all this money, I got to pay more money. Finally, it seemed like 100 years. I'm not that old, so it couldn't have been. But after a long, long time, okay? I am old enough to say long, long, and that means long, long, okay? It was a long, long time. I finally was able to sell this car. And the monument was gone, this monument to my faith. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so happy to have sold this car. I'm so glad it's gone. My pain is over. Let's turn to Romans 8. So first of all, it's walk out this battle, okay? So you're battling with your flesh, And to win this battle, we need to partner with the Holy Spirit. We need to be walking in the Spirit and not let our flesh win this war. Because as soon as my flesh won, the enemy was right there to say, aha, look what you've done. Look at this monument you have now. And I was like, oh no, I don't want a monument. Not a monument to my failure. But that's how the enemy works. You know, you think life is okay and you're going to survive, and then he comes to trick you up and trip you up until you fall, and then he's like, aha, told you. So in Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So in the midst of all that failure, and every time I'd open the door and see my monument to failure, it wasn't condemnation. It wasn't that the God that loves me didn't love me anymore. It wasn't that the Lord was disappointed in me. He was maybe sorry because I was going to have to ride out this bumpy road, and he had a better plan for me. But he wasn't upset with me. He wasn't mad. He wasn't trying to get even with me. You know all the things we all think? He was training me. This was part of his plan. He's training me. He knew where I was. He wasn't surprised. He wasn't like, what? He went with his flesh instead of my spirit? No, he wasn't surprised. He was like, oh, dude, this is going to cost you big. It's breaking my heart, but I'm going to make something out of it. I'm going to make something out of it. So there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Woo! Hallelujah. I bought this car, but I'm not going to die. Okay? I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm free to navigate this life in the Spirit. I'm learning how to navigate this life in the Spirit. I hadn't even thought about it until this morning when we were praying together. And it's like a tightrope walker. Can you imagine a tightrope walker? I mean, you could think of it as something, a lot of pressure, like, okay, this is not stable. And, you know, for those on the tape, I'm wiggling around like a tightrope walker would. You know, I'm out of balance, kind of. And so you would think that that would cause stress on your heart. But because of the power of the Holy Spirit, you got this invisible net. Not a net like, I'm going to buy the car I love. Not a net like I'll make it happen my way. This invisible, unseen net that's the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, stir your spirit in me so that I can live this life like I'm walking a tightrope. Like I'm pushing all the limits, but I'm safe because there's this invisible net, this Holy Spirit protecting me. There's another story I have about a different car. And this one's also very funny. This one's probably more funny because this car was not a car for me. I was buying a car for my youngest little child, and she had been praying. So funny. She'd been praying since she was like 14, 13. She's like, Dad, when I turn 16, I'm going to buy a convertible. I'm like, a convertible? Darling, we live in West Virginia. We live in the mountain state. You don't want a convertible? They're not that safe, and, you know, it's chilly most of the time. She goes, oh, Dad, I'm praying. Oh, shoot, she's praying. What am I going to do? She's praying. So I'm off on this ministry trip, my wife and I, and we get this call. I found the car. Oh, no. Oh, no, she found the car. She's praying for years and years, okay? Now she's 16. This has been years. And she's convinced this is the car. What am I going to do?
Well, honey, I'll look at the car when we get there. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, Lord, what are we going to do?
So I go and look at this car. I have a friend that has a gas station, and he puts it up on the rack. And we're looking underneath with flashlights. And you know the fluids that are in a car? There's transmission fluid, and there's oil, there's antifreeze. All these kind of fluids that are supposed to be inside, they were all coming outside. Okay, and the car was pretty. It was another pretty car. It had a beautiful white convertible with blue paint. That thing was gorgeous. And I'm like, whoa, wait. Oh, my goodness. So now I'm in this warfare again, but this time it's not about being convinced in my heart of something, I'm in this warfare like, okay, Lord, I know that my little girl has been believing for a car and she's convinced this is it. So I've got a way out. How am I going to respond? Am I going to believe you for this car to be the car and let her faith ride up this wave of this convertible, beautiful convertible, and let it ride? Or am I going to go, no, honey, you don't hear from God. You are a little baby and you do not hear from God. Oh, no. The battle is on. Because being led by the Spirit doesn't always make sense. Okay, this is tough. This is difficult. This is difficult. I like the idea of the other car because I felt like it would make me look cool. And I didn't like the idea of this car because I felt it would make me look foolish. The difference is this car was the one the Lord wanted me to buy. This car was a piece of trash. I mean, fluid leaking everywhere. We would go check the gas and fill it up with oil. That's
some of you caught that, yeah. That's an old guy term, okay?
So this car, but you know the funny thing? Here's the funniest thing, is that car lasted and lasted and lasted. That car was amazing. That car looked beautiful, and it lasted. And when it finally gave up, I sold it for almost as much as I paid for it. It was like, what? Now, this is how you live by the Spirit and walk that tightrope without a net. And you couldn't care less if there's a net or not. Because you start to get convinced after walking a while and learning how to navigate being led by the Spirit that I can do no wrong. Whoa, that's a little scary, Lord. Is that for real? Well, here's the question. Are you walking by the Spirit?
I think I am.
Then I'll tell you what. I'll make whatever you're believing for happen. What? Say that again slower, Lord. Are you sure? I'm telling you, if you're walking by the Spirit, you're on this tightrope.
Just go as fast as you want to go.
Go as fast as you want to go. If you're being led by the Spirit and He says, jump! Jump in! Jump in with everything! Because you cannot fail. The Holy Spirit is leading you to do things and say things and speak things that you're going to go, oh, what if they slug me? Turn your other cheek. I'm telling you, there's no failing. I'm telling you, it's amazing to find out after experience that as you're walking along, there's nothing to fear. You've been made free from the law of sin and death. The freedom from the law of sin and death is walking by the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, it's challenging. When I told you the testimony about Paul compared to mine, it's because my testimony was so religious. So to come from a place where religion was everything, let me tell you something. Compared to walking in the Spirit, religion is easy. Religion's a piece of cake. It really is. The risky part is living by the Spirit. And that's why it takes a little practice. Because you might have to say something like, oh, man, I just sinned. I know it. I want to confess my sin. What? You mean I've got to tell somebody? There's power in it. The Scripture says if you confess to God, you're forgiven. If you confess to one another, you're healed. Imagine the healing it took for me to get from this religious prig to somebody alive in the Spirit. It wasn't an easy road. There was a lot of bumps. And when we talk about prayer, the next point, the Bible in Thessalonians says pray without ceasing. And if you want to walk in the Spirit, I encourage you, it's so important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the praying without ceasing, if you have a prayer language and the Lord has given you a prayer language and you can pray in that prayer language day after day, and the Bible talks about praying in the Spirit and the benefits and the praying mysteries to yourself, it's so powerful to be praying over a situation and a struggle that you're facing and have suddenly this understanding about how to navigate it, even though you don't really know how to navigate it. Lisa and I went through a time where we were believing for a breakthrough. One of our children was struggling with depression, and we didn't know what to do. You know, that's where the rubber really meets the road, when it's so important to you, something you cherish and love, and you don't know how to help, and you don't know what it's going to take to help, and you know that you're powerless to be that help. And so it's, Lord, what do we do? And we pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, and then the Lord gave me this scripture to hold on to. And I'm telling you, it made the world a difference. And part of the reason I found it is because I like to read the Bible. I like to spend time in it. It's how we grow. And we're going to talk more about growing in the next point. But the value of spending time, get to know, oh, I want to get to know you, Lord. I want to get to know how the Holy Spirit functions. I want to get to know how Jesus speaks to me. I want to get to know how I navigate this life of faith. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian. I want to be a son. I want to be a daughter. I want to know. That's the whole point. It's not about belonging to a denomination or what church you go to. It's not even about other Christian friends. It's about, I got to know for me. It's got to be so personal that I know. And I know people in here. And you know me. But it's because you've spent time with me. It's because you know me. You may not understand me. But you know me. And you're not surprised when I, you know, do something you didn't expect. So the getting to know is in the Word of God. And the Lord gave me this portion of Scripture. And it's not even logically that it makes sense. It's just what he gave me as this thing to hold on to. And so I had this thing to hold on to, this word of God, that it was something was coming good, and it was going to begin to rain. It was not ever going to stop. And so I would see things, and I would go, ooh, oh no, oh no. 1 + 1 = 2, and this behavior and time equals disaster. I could see it in my own flesh that this was not good. But instead of saying anything about it, I would lift up that scripture that he gave me like a stone in my hand, and I would lift up my hand and say, I'm believing what you told me. I'm to believe in what you told me. It doesn't make sense, and I can't see it working out, but I don't have anything else. And so to pray without ceasing, in Philippians it says, be anxious for nothing. In fact, let's turn. I think we need to read that in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The power of prayer is real. It's real. I had no way, no form of confidence, no assumption that it would be all right apart from prayer. Apart from prayer. Prayer is the most powerful thing ever. It's more important than anything else. It's so important. This praying without ceasing, this praying in the Spirit, praying with your understanding, praying all the time, praying when you wake up, praying when you go to sleep, praying in your dreams, praying all the time. I'm telling you, when our babies were little, this was my wife's idea, I'm sure. It's so brilliant. She had us pray not only for our daughter, but she would pray for the man they would meet. We have two daughters. I now have two of the most amazing son-in-laws. I'm telling you, you just look at them and you think, wow, wow. The power of prayer is amazing. This is off the chart in today's day and age. These men are amazing. I have the two of the most amazing son-in-laws, and it's because of the power of prayer. I'm telling you, we would pray every time we prayed for our daughters. We'd pray for their mates, the men they would come and meet, whoever they would be. Who would know who they could be? You don't get a pick, and the kids do it themselves. Yeah, you don't get a pick. You really even can't comment. I mean, you have to kind of be like, ooh. Unless they ask, you know, because if you say something negative about someone, they've got a little bit of ink anyway. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. So it's amazing. The power of prayer is so important. And even in Matthew 17, Jesus talks about prayer and fasting, that combination, that the disciples were struggling to get this person free and the power that was required. Jesus said, this kind doesn't go out but by prayer and fasting. So the power of prayer is paramount. Okay, so we need to move on to grow. So the circumstances of this attempt to walk in the Spirit and praying all the time, it causes something to happen, this growth that's supernaturally natural, that you begin to be better at everything you do. Let's turn to James. James has been oddly my favorite scripture here, this first James. It's kind of funny to say it's my favorite because it's kind of my favorite. Well, let me read it and you'll understand. James 1, we're starting in 2. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. See what I mean? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay, I didn't jump in. I think I was pushed. I fell. I fell into various trials, but count it all joy because the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Okay, so on the first glance, at the first light of it, you think, wow, that's really interesting. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. So, yeah, thanks, Lord, for, I bought the wrong car, and I got this monument to my failure. Yeah, that's cool. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks. I'm scared to death that, someone I love is on the verge of catastrophe. Whee! So at first glance, it's like, how's anyone going to do that? How's anyone going to pull that off? And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that we need to walk this life out in the power of the Holy Spirit, because the peace of God is imparted to us as we pray. And as we grow, we understand that what we're believing for is the truth of the Word of God, that the Lord can take no matter what situation we're in, no matter where we're living right now at this moment, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter how it looks or how it appears to us, that the Lord has a plan and a promise for us individually, like you. I'm taking the circumstance you're living in right now, and I'm doing something inside you that's going to change you forever, and you're never going to face a circumstance like this again without hope in your heart. You're never going to be so concerned and overwhelmed with the pressure that this circumstance is putting on you without hope in your heart that God's got a plan in the midst of it. And you're not going to face another struggle without this reference point. I have a reference point because of the testimony, the things that I've been through. I've got a reference point that says it doesn't even have to make sense. It does not have to make sense. The power of God is so awesome and incredible that the circumstance in your life does not have to make sense for the Lord to work it into something beautiful. And it's difficult to get to the place where you can say, what is happening in the midst of the struggle I'm facing? The Lord is big enough. Turn around. The Lord is big enough to work in it, and all He's asking me to do is give Him the space. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. I waited a long time to quote that. You can tell. The way we grow is through trials. James says, this is how it works. I've got this wonderful stuff for you, but the reality of the world that you've lived in up until the point of salvation is so strong that to break free from the reality of the world, to break free of the reality of your flesh, to break free from the reality of religiosity, it's going to take some powerful experiences. I want to tell you that to learn to risk trusting in the Holy Spirit was not an easy thing. to figure out that if I continue on just religiously trying to be the right guy and do the right thing and have the correct behavior so that I appear to be someone that has a relationship with the Most High God is not enough. You will never be satisfied trying to look good. You'll never be satisfied trying to appear as if you have something that you do not have. I'm telling you that it's worth the risk. It's worth the risk to have everyone think you a fool, to have the power of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the value of that growth, I'm old and I've walked it out. I've seen the fruit of walking in religion and walking in my own way and then walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you've got to know that the value is so great that it's worth the risk. It's worth the risk. It's worth walking up to a stranger and talking about your Savior. Walking up to somebody that you're moved upon to say, I don't know how to say this except that I feel like the Lord told me you're hurting inside and He understands your pain and He knows you're mad at Him and He just loves you and He's sorry about those events that made you so mad. You know, that's really risky stuff, and you really want to be led by the Spirit before you jump into a big pile like that, because you don't know what the outcome of something like that's going to be, but you can know that it's the Holy Spirit, and we grow, and we learn how to flow in the Holy Spirit, and you're safe. You know, the tightrope is the same regardless of how much experience you have. That you're completely safe, even though it may look scary, and you're learning how to navigate. You know, my grandson is learning to walk. It's really scary. I mean, you know, he looks okay, and then boom, he's down. You know, and then he's like, how do I get back up? You know, he's trying to grab something to get back up. And as we learn to walk in the Holy Spirit, it's safe. It takes this bump. We have to hit our backside real hard and realize, oh, I need to be a little more careful to walk in the Spirit, because we have an advocate that is filling us with the power to walk this out. And He's inviting us. Won't you come? Won't you come to the tightrope with me? It's going to be so scary and so fun and so safe. You're going to love it more and more. More and more. The more you're on it, the more you're going to love it. And the more you risk, the more you're going to see me meet you. Come, risk it all. Jump in with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. How many of you have... How many of you have done a really dumb thing on your own? Hey, I bought a bus. And that bus became a noose. I mean, you guys remember the bus? We put money into the bus. I'll never buy a bus unless God makes me buy a bus. And you know what? I'm happy to say we have learned so much from your life today. How many of you, even right now, you're thinking, I think I did something that the Holy Spirit didn't lead me to do. It's hard to admit that. It is hard to admit that, isn't it? But the Lord has a grace to work it out into something that will bring the fruitfulness, because we mess up sometimes.
Well, and it's important that we do. It's important. Your mistake was important. It's how we grow. Count it all joy.
As I was sitting there, you know, it's hard to invite somebody to stand up if they feel like they're facing a monumental failure. But this is a place where we pray for one another. And maybe in a prayer circle, you might have even brought that kind of thing up. But I want to just go ahead and say, if there's anybody who says, I'm in the midst of a situation right now and I would like the people around me praying for me. Go ahead, let's as we're gathered around these right now, Spirit of God, fall fresh. Fall fresh. Fall fresh. Sometimes the failure, just like Pastor Roy was saying, feels like a great weight on you. The Lord wants to lift the weight and help you to know exactly that your failure didn't remove you from sonship. That was an incredible point. He didn't remove us from being His cherished child. And we receive that right now. In the midst of a failure, you're still a cherished child. But you don't know me, Pastor. I did it out of rebellion. Oh, you don't know me. Jesus knows us all. And there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. So allow the Holy Spirit now to lift that thing from you. And right now receive. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Because it's a lesson well learned. Let's praise the Lord together, church. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hearts to the Lord. Let's all stand together. Let's lift our hearts. I want to ask you to lift your hands as a point of surrender. Say, Father, repeat after me. Say, Father God, it is my choice in the name of Jesus to walk in the Spirit, to pray according to your Spirit, and to grow up in you in the Spirit. I choose to be a son, a daughter of the Most High. In Jesus' name, amen.